Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad you're here, because without you, we wouldn't have these great listener questions. We've got some awesome questions heading your way, including a question from Debbie about what to expect at Epcot on New Year's Eve. What countries bring in the new year in special ways? And we'll talk about the madness and the fun. But right now, how about a word from our sponsors? And that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 7 Plus, I can see that we're down to, check this out, 24 days to go till we head down to Coronado Springs Yacht Club and Riverside for a triple split stay. I cannot tell you how excited I am to get down to Walt Disney World for the 4th of July, for Toy Story Land's opening, and more. And I get excited every time I place a call, get a text, or post to social media. It's right there with great pictures, audio alerts, custom colors and fonts, and so much more. You need this on your device right now. If you've got an Apple device, you need it right now. Drop by virtualmickey.com today and grab Days to Go WDW. Thanks to everybody who continues to use our Amazon affiliate link over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. It's the easiest way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. Anytime you do your online shopping, just click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. You'll get all your Prime benefits. It'll cost you nothing extra, and it helps keep the show as awesome as possible. Again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1338 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you, and thanks. A big shout out to everybody who is joining us here live on Facebook, as we do each and every Monday night around 5:30 Eastern. We're so glad to have you here. So, if you are on summer break, I know a lot of teachers are getting out of school now this time of year, so come on by next Monday around 5:30 Eastern. Drop by facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast, and we will be here answering your listener questions live. Of course, we take the questions from our inbox at Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com, so send those in. Today, joining me today, we're going to not go to Ricky because she just dropped off. I don't know what happened. Maybe the cat stepped on the wire. The cat was in the room. Who knows? But you get to be first tonight. So Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's up, Pam?
I like being first. I don't get to be first very often. So, happy summer. I got lots of emails from people who said they loved the Poison rendition that we did during that one. We put that in people's mind. We got them singing a little Belle Biv DeVoe on that. So anyways, that was funny. And we'll have something else for this week because we're talking about summer.
Yeah, that's Friday. So stand by. We've used it in the past. You know, it's a good song to just...
I sing it all the time in my head. That's like what's going on.
As soon as I put the top down on the Jeep, that's what I'm rolling with. You know what? Like, nothing says like 44-year-old guy in a Jeep convertible Wrangler than, little DJ Jazzy Jeff while you're cruising down Mid River Small Drive.
Nothing better. So anyways, happy summer. Happy summer to the folks who are already in the midst of it. Moms and dads who are staying home with the kids, hang in there. Have a few more months to go.
Mallory has already been bored 17 times. She's been out of school for 3 days. It's ridiculous. Anyway.
Yes.
All right, she's back. I guess hopefully she threw the cat out the window so that she doesn't get kicked off the feed here. Ricky's joining us from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less. Get rid of the cat, Ricky. What's going on?
I have no idea what just happened. It wasn't the cat. It was just like all of a sudden I saw the light go out for the, for it being live. And I was like, what?
Come back towards the light, Ricky.
Yes. I know. I need to come back towards the light. I don't know. That was weird. Anyway, I want to send a special shout out to Sean, who is recovering from a pretty big health scare. So shout out to Sean. Hope you feel better soon. So. Anyway, that's all I've got now that I'm actually here.
Good stuff, Sean. Hope you get better soon. All right, well, hey, let's get to the questions. Run a little late here, so let's jump in here with Debbie's question, top of the show, titled New Year's Eve at Epcot. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm planning my first and probably only New Year's trip to Walt Disney World, and I need some help planning my dinner reservation in Epcot on the 31st. I remember hearing some of the World Showcase countries celebrate the New Year's based on midnight in their own time zones. Is this correct? If so, do you remember which countries? I would like to be able to schedule my meal around these times so I get to enjoy as many celebrations as possible. Thanks for all your good work with Give Kids the World. I hope to volunteer there sometime soon. TTFN, Debbie. And she's from her iPad. I don't know where she's from. It's from her iPad. So anyway, so Pam, walk us through what Epcot looks like on New Year's Eve, because they do celebrate each country's New Year, like in the different time zones, but not necessarily in that country. It's kind of during illuminations, correct?
Yeah, so they do that. So here's what New Year's Eve is like at Epcot. First of all, take a bunch more people than you expected.
Times 10. Yeah.
Shove them all in there, because they're all in there. But it's still, you can still walk around. That's the thing about it. It's a really fun and festive atmosphere. I love it, personally. If I could experience every New Year's there, I would be there for it. Because it's just fun, let's just face it. In most of our hometowns, they don't really have a huge celebration with thousands of people and fireworks. Right. But the way that they celebrate is, during illuminations, they have like a little New Year's tag. And they sort of play a little song from each country and say, you know, our friends in Great Britain who experienced New Year's 5 hours ago or whatever. I'm not sure if that's the right time difference. So don't hold me to that, folks. But they'll play that and then they'll talk about that. And that's how they really celebrate it. Now, I know they may have little impromptu celebrations in the countries at the actual time that their New Year's Eve celebration goes on. But it's really not a big thing. And it's not even something that's on the time schedule or something that is really publicized. It would be very small if they did that. Not anything I would plan a dinner thing around. What you want to do is grab some kind of dinner reservation for the night that you'll be in Epcot, because dang, you will need it. Otherwise, you'll be waiting in a very long line at a counter service location. And you don't want to do that. So pick an ADR, grab your favorite location, make sure that you're out there in plenty of time to get a good spot to see the fireworks, and enjoy being with people. I think that's the best thing about New Year's Eve and any holiday you're celebrating there. Everyone's in a great mood. There's this like feeling of brotherhood and peace. And it's like that. It's something that like you really just wouldn't experience watching, you know, Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve.
Definitely not.
It's at home. Well, I can't stay up for it at home. So.
No way. It's like a Disney version of being in Times Square, basically, is what it is. I mean, yeah. But what it is, and Pam makes a great point. You need, this is a necessity, is an ADR at Epcot on New Year's Eve. Yes. Because not only do you need to eat, and you get to avoid, with an ADR, you get to avoid standing in the miles-long line of a counter service place. I am no kidding. Bathrooms, if you know where to go, there's some hidden ones. You know, there's places to go to the bathroom. You just got to be smart. Don't go to the popular ones. But, I mean, especially for eating, just getting a counter service meal, A, you get off your feet, and plus, you get out of the madness for like an hour and a half to 2 hours, and you're eating good food. And then what happens is you come out, like, say, get a reservation at like 7. You know what I'm saying? Like 6:30, 7 o'clock. You get to come out into the madness at like 8:30 and 9. You're like refreshed. You got a full meal in your belly. You're ready to rock. You know, that is such a key. If you don't have that, it can be kind of miserable on New Year's Eve at Epcot. So, Ricky, we've all been there on New Year's Eve the past few years. So, what's your best advice for Debbie here?
Like you said, definitely make that ADR. I think it's going to be key. And, you know, New Year's Eve is really, like you said, is a totally different animal. There are two showings of Illuminations. One is the Peace on Earth tag. That's at like about 6:30. The second is, of course, at midnight. And the midnight one you definitely don't want to miss. So it is just totally phenomenal. It brings tears to your eyes. It's so, so good. But like I said, it's a different animal being there on New Year's Eve, because there are dance parties everywhere.
Yes, and the dragon in China.
The dragon in China is phenomenal. Like, it takes forever to fight your way into the China Pavilion.
I love it. It's
so worth fighting in, because you're dancing and jamming along, and then all of a sudden the dragon breathes fire, and you're just like, fire!
Everybody goes crazy. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's just the the best. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then there's the dance party that happens in Italy, and there's usually a silent dance party that happens. And
UK, really, UK's got a dance party. We danced in all of them, except Italy. Yeah, Italy looked a little crazy. Like, I'm saying, like, Italy
definitely looks intense. I did go back and, like, watched in Italy because I was kind of curious as to what was going on.
I don't think they let 40-year-olds in Italy. I think there was, like, an age limit. Like,
that seemed like a younger
crowd. Monica and I were banned.
Yes, definitely like a younger crowd. But it's so much fun. Make sure you make your fast passes too. That's going to be key as well. If you want any shot of riding anything that day, make sure you make your fast passes at the, I'm assuming probably 60-day mark if you're staying on site.
And or the strategy for that, yes, is definitely make them in the evening when you're going to be in Epcot. Look, this is a day, either get to a different park early and spend a little time in there and then leave during the middle of the day. And make your fast passes for later in the evening, or sleep in, or do something relaxing in the morning, and get to the parks much later.
That's what we did. I mean, as a group, we've done New Year's Eve the last couple of years, and like what we did was we played mini golf on New Year's Eve day. Mm-hmm. We went to the fountain. We just hung out around the boardwalk, and then we went in like at 5 o'clock and ate dinner at like 6:30 at Teppanito. Man, that was the best way to do it ever. That was awesome.
Yeah, right. Definitely. And we have a question in the chat room talking about someone who's going to be in Epcot on the 4th of July. And again, that is the same kind of strategy.
It's just hotter.
I would use for that. Yeah,
just hotter. Yeah.
Right. That's the same kind of strategy I would use. So if you're going to be there in the evening for the fireworks, then plan your day to have your fast pass in the evening. And also an ADR is key, like we said. And spend that morning by your pool. Just lay by the pool.
And look for us.
I give you permission.
We'll be there on the 4th of July at Epcot, so look for us. We're gonna be having fun. Ricky, you're not going to be there? Come on now. No. You got to come on down.
No, sorry. I won't be there.
That's not a done deal yet. We'll get you down there. Joe Lazo will bring you down in the Tesla.
I have a job that does not let me.
We have jobs? Hello?
My boss is right there. Look, my boss is right here. No, wait. She's down here. I can't tell.
I was finishing the sentence that I said.
It's like a Brady Bunch thing.
It is.
I have a job that does not just let me take off and work from home. Like, it should let me take off and work from home, but they do not. They like it when I'm there.
All right, well, let's get to the next question. We got one live in the chat, and I like this one from Jessica. It's just Star Wars. With the recent announcement of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge possibly opening in late fall 2019, do you think this means less crowds for September 2019 as people will be going later in the year hoping it will be open? We're planning a trip for September of 2019, and since we don't really care about Star Wars... I'm hoping we might luck out with some lighter crowds and possible promotions, free dining, fingers crossed. So, Ricky, look into your crystal ball. Okay, so okay, say, you know, because I think we were thinking Star Wars summer 2019. Now it's pushed back a little bit. It's going to open first on the West Coast.
Right.
What do you think about the scenario Jessica's posing here for folks that don't care about Star Wars and will go before?
Honestly, people like me. I will tolerate Star Wars Land when it's there. It will be very pretty, kind of like Mike does with the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. It's going to be the same kind of feeling. It's like, oh, look how pretty it is. Okay.
Look at that guy. Look at that kid barfing in the store window. What's up with that? That left a mark on me, I'm telling you. Anyway, go ahead.
It's true. Anyway, so, you know, I think that we are probably going to see at Walt Disney World some lighter, I use that word loosely, lighter-ish crowds probably in the fall leading up to Star Wars Land, to Galaxy's Edge. And for those who are asking when Galaxy's Edge is going to open, they announced it was late fall. I'm going to remind you very nicely that late fall does not end until December 21st. So fall ends December 21st.
That's very
so just
late
please
fall.
Keep that in mind when they and they specified late fall. So I'm thinking you might get it in November, but if you go in December, you're definitely, if you go at Christmas, you'll definitely get it. You'll be waiting with the masses because everybody else will be there then too. But yeah, it's definitely going to be tight. And yes, December is the end of late fall. Just letting you all know. December.
All right. So
I'll be there. Opening week.
That's it. Well, there's already people online. I heard the line has already started. So be there.
Yeah, definitely.
That's it. All right. So Lorraine's got the next question. One of my great guests over at the Magic for Less. She says, my mom had a bad case of shingles a couple of years ago in her face and in her ear. It impacted her inner ear on one side, and it took quite a while to recover as it impacted her balance. She is now completely recovered, with the exception of a couple things. She tends to get off balance if she tries to walk on uneven areas, like stepping on a curb or down from a curb, or areas that are moving, like an escalator. She's worried about getting on rides on our trip with moving walkways, like Peter Pan's flight, but doesn't want to be left out of the fun. If we're riding one of these rides and are up to the front and ready to get on, is it possible to tell the cast member of the issue and have them stop the moving platform to allow her to get on? She's not going to want to be the center of attention having to do this, but I don't know if we need to go the route of special access. I can't think of the actual name, or the DAS, I guess. I know there has to be some proof of issue for this, and she could get a note from a doctor, but I don't know if she qualifies. Okay, so we get kind of the thing here. You don't have to have a note. Actually, they can't take notes anymore.
No, they can't take
because notes. Because like HIPAA and their stuff, you know, stuff like that. But Pam, what about this? I mean, I get it. You know, this is totally reasonable because she doesn't want to be the center of attention. Nobody does when you're getting on an attraction. But I mean, for her safety, she doesn't want to, you know, have a spill there on like a moving platform, say like a People Mover or Peter Pan. So what's best way to go about this?
So my best suggestion is when you get to the park, go there with your whole party and talk to them about the issues that your mom has. To get a DAS pass or disability assistance card, that's what you have to do. And what it is really is just all you need to do is explain how it would be challenging for your mom. Explain the rides that they will be challenging. And the beauty of this is that Disney can best guide you into a solution for those and will give you some input into that. Then also they'll probably tell you, you know, at different attractions, the first cast member that you encounter, explain to them what's going on or whatever, and they'll be able to assist as well. That's really the best way to deal with it. And Disney's really come up with a good solution in that spot. You know, I know it's frustrating for some folks, but some folks who have like a mobility issue, the DAS really is not created for them anymore because Disney has made it so that most of their queues are accessible via wheelchair. So they expect that folks that have a mobility issue will have a wheelchair, you know, to do this. But this is a different situation. And just explain what it is to them, and they'll be able to best advise.
Good stuff. Okay, next question. I love this one. I'm going to the chat because I love when families watch together. That is awesome. So here we go. It's Kaylee's question. Hi there. Watching with this with my 10-year-old daughter, Abby. Shout out, Abby. Everybody, tell Abby
hi. What's up, Abby?
What's up, Abby?
Hi, Abby.
Hey. She wants to know the best seafood on property. We'll be there at the end of August. Ricky, best seafood on property. Where do you go?
I'm going to steal everybody's. I'm going to say Boathouse. I think that is really, 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 really good seafood.
I don't have an opinion because I don't get seafood because unless seafood, I'm on a cruise because it's already paid for because my family doesn't like seafood, but I do. So like Olivia's. Okay, go ahead, Pam.
I'm going to tell you Flying Fish. If you're looking for a signature experience, they have a great seafood, and there's a lot of the signature restaurants do. They always, you know, most of the signature restaurants will have a great seafood entree and a fish entree from which you can choose. They actually bid on those beautiful cuts of different fish, be it grouper or halibut or tuna. They do a great job with that. And then if you're looking for something that might be a little more casual, Cape May has crab legs and clams and mussels available.
And it's all you can eat.
It is all you can eat. So Mike's wife doesn't even like walking past there.
No.
I know.
Mike's team doesn't like that. Mike wants to go in. Pam wants to run away.
We're going to have to take Mike, Pam. We're just going to have to take him.
All
you can eat crab legs. Yes, I'm in.
So, but there's lots of places to get some good seafood. And I will give a shout out to, I know I mention this one almost every week, but Homecoming has a fantastic grouper. They have a sandwich at lunch, and then they also have grouper over greens and dinner. Yum. So all good.
So we're getting a lot of feedback in the chat. We appreciate that so very much. Thanks, everybody, for making the show interactive. We're getting the wave from a few folks. We're also getting seconds on Cape May Cafe. We're getting Columbia Harbor House as an option for counter service right there in the Magic Kingdom from Joe Laszlo. And some guy named Scott Gardner saying Narcoossee's.
Narcoossee's is good. And they have the surf and turf that is the bomb. In fact, I think last time we were there with Scott, we were there with a big group, and I think every one of us got the surf and turf. We were all like, surf and turf it up. So that yummy lobster tail and the steak, great.
All right, so let's get a question here from London, because it's probably getting a little late there. Scott Carrington's tuned in live from London. He says, we'll be traveling with our daughter, 7, 4, and 1 this summer. We have fast passes booked, but wondering about non-fast pass character time schedules, when those will be updated. Are there other random characters walking around or only those scheduled? So, Ricky, what do you know about, like, you know, getting the non, like, stand in line, like Winnie the Pooh or, you know, whatever, Mickey Mouse? How about, tell Scott about meeting the characters.
So basically the not like anything that is just the regular, like not the anything you have to make fast passes for, right? So usually, like, we just did Chip and Dale this past weekend. So or I guess last weekend, you know what I mean. So basically how it works is you'll see the characters, you'll see a line, you can check the times guide. A lot of times the times guide, either the paper times guide or My Disney Experience, will have it listed the times that the characters are appearing. So if you've got a character that you absolutely want to see, make sure you check the times guide to see kind of when and where they may be appearing at. And then you just go and you stand in line and you wait for the character. You know, that's kind of how it works. Sometimes they will cut off the line. So keep that in mind. Make sure you get there a little bit earlier than like the end time, because the line may be cut off and you may be out of luck. And the other thing is sometimes the characters have to go away for a bite or whatever, but they will come back in about 5 minutes after that. So you just may have to wait a little bit longer just because the character has to go grab a snack. So.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh always has to go for like a bit of honey or something. You know,
yes,
it's weird.
Exactly. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, I mean, it's so fun to meet characters. There's also, if there's a specific character that you're really looking to meet and you can't find them, ask a cast member and they can assist you. They have a special line that they can call and help you find where that character is actually going to be located.
Perfect. And let me just say, Joe Laszlo knows us too well. That's scary. So anyway, Kurt's got the next question. I promised him this one, that we get this one today. Now, he put a picture in here. So the picture is gigantic. It's like I could wallpaper. It's bigger than the banner that's in our basement. This thing covers a whole wall. So bear with me, because I have to go side to side here on, because it made the email like real funky. So he says, Mike, I'm going to Disney in July with my wife and kids, 16th through the 23rd. I booked the Celebration at the Top appetizer drink event to watch the castle show at the Magic Kingdom for my wife and I. The little bit I have seen online says it is a very expensive event for what it is. Have any of you done this event, and is it worth the $99 a person price tag? The last time we went to Disney in 2016, the whole family rented the boat for the Magic Kingdom fireworks show the night before our July 4th anniversary. I was so disappointed that I spent about $500 for this boat trip. It was a huge waste of money. Don't want to make that same mistake again. Let's see here. So, the picture's a picture from the Magic Kingdom in 1973, a park map. So that's what it is. I can't see it right now, but that's awesome. So Pam, do you know anything about this event? I don't know about it, but it's he calls it Celebration at the Top appetizer drink event.
Yeah, I do. I just haven't been able to do it yet. I'm finally getting an opportunity to do the monorail dine around this summer, which I've been dying to do. But this one sounds like a great event too. I just haven't had any personal experience. You know, if you just want to see, you know, the fireworks from the California Grill, you can just make a reservation at the California Grill if you're really worried about the expense. And for $99 a person, you're absolutely going to get a good meal and some drinks there included with that. So that may be what you want to do. And the thing about the California Grill is, if you have a reservation anytime that day, so this could be for brunch, if it's a day where they offer brunch, or this could be for dinner, you can come back and watch the fireworks from their catwalks there for free. You just have to show your... just have to show your ticket, receipt. Why was I blanking on that word?
All right.
In my mind, they're just tickets. Tickets. So I don't know what a receipt means. So anyways, you can just show your receipt and they'll let you back up in that space. And it is a great place to watch the fireworks from. The issue I think that some people are surprised of is the angle from anywhere besides right there in the castle. The fireworks are a little to the right or the left, depending on where you're looking from. But it's a different view. It's an awesome view, and you'll still enjoy it. So that's probably what I'd do.
So I want to kind of share for those who don't know what Celebration at the Top is. We do have a page on the Mouse for Less, and what it is it's a private dining room, which allows guests to enjoy beverages, alcohol included, and small snacks. It's $99 per person.
Is it charcuterie?
No, hang on, I'll get there. I'm glad you pronounced it right for once. It's $99 per person plus tax. It's only offered on Sunday nights. Valet parking, snacks, beverages, and the fireworks viewing are included in the price. So what it is basically you get snack-sized offerings. So it's not a full meal. It's flatbreads and sushis, as well as bite-sized desserts like fruit tarts and creme brulees. Beverages offered include soda and non-alcoholic drinks, as well as a selection of wines, beers, and cordials. So here's my, I kind of agree with Pam. My thought process is, if you really want to see the fireworks and you're worried about being disappointed, I might just book the California Grill by itself as a reservation. And then that way you can just have whatever you want as your meal, and you don't have to worry about what they're providing you for these small, snack size offerings. And then that way you guys are set. Like, you already know, hey, you know, we know we're going to have a good meal. We know we're going to, you know, instead, because there's nothing worse than going to a meal and thinking, or going to a dining experience like this and thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to get like totally full out of this. And then you leave hungry too. So if you're really worried about it, I would maybe consider booking just the California Grill reservation.
And we just ate, Steve and I just ate at California Grill just a little bit ago. And I can tell you, we had a great meal, a great server. We were actually seated in, there's sort of a private room. They used to call it like the wine cellar room before they did that. And it was open. They were actually seating guests in there for dinner. And we sat there. It's actually not toward the fireworks at all. It's toward the other side. And we sat there during this torrential rainstorm and had the best meal. When we first sat there, I was sort of like, oh, shoot, I'm not even looking over at the Magic Kingdom. It's getting to the end of my trip. I'm like, you know how that kind of thing can snowball. Yeah. And I think one of your greatest resources you can take with you when you vacation is your ability to adapt and recover. And I was like, oh, no, this is not going to ruin my last night on vacation. I am going to have the best night possible. And we did. We just really did. So the food was great. We just really enjoyed ourselves. So always a good time there. But yeah, really enjoy the California Grill. And we did walk out when the fireworks were going on. So it was great.
Good stuff. All right. Next up is Lisa Blanca in the chat. Let's get this one. My husband is a big Star Wars fan. So see, we had to do the yin to the yang, you know, like the non-Star Wars. So they're big Star Wars fans. We're waiting to return to Walt Disney World until after Star Wars Land opens, Galaxy's Edge, along with the millions and millions of others. We have only been to Walt Disney World twice, and they were both during low crowd times, the week before Thanksgiving and the week after. We absolutely love the short wait times during these lower crowd times. How long should we wait to plan a trip to see the new Star Wars Land without absolutely insane crowds? 2030. What month would you suggest our twin boys
will
be?
Right now is your last chance.
Yes, exactly.
I hate to say this, but okay, here she goes. She says, my twin boys will be in kindergarten for the 2019-20 school year. Actually, she should get this for them for a graduation present from college.
Yes, that should be it.
Just kidding.
Yeah. Maybe the popularity will have died down just a tad.
It won't. It won't. Thanks for the awesome podcast and advice and special thanks. She's one of my guests over at the Magic for Less, so I appreciate that very, very much. It helps make the show possible. But realistically, I mean, this is where Star Wars Land is just a whole new beast. This is something that it's going to be on the order of like Harry Potter was very popular when it opened at Universal. I mean, there were people waiting in line forever. I mean, but this is going to be times 10, times 100. Pam, what do you think? And then Ricky, give your thoughts. I mean, I don't know how long you don't wait because this could never, the fervor could never die down, to be honest.
And that's the beauty of, for as much criticism as FastPass Plus gets, I will also say it also makes trips like this possible. We are going to be at Hollywood Studios the day that Toy Story Land opens. And the thing is, we're able to get, during our trip, we're able to get FastPass for both attractions on different things. And that's something I have in my pocket already. Like, I don't have to worry. Like, am I going to get to do Slinky Dog Dash? Am I going to get to do the Alien Saucers, which I've shortened the name there to make more appropriate for the family.
Yes.
Am I going to get to do the Alien Saucers? I don't have to worry about that. I know I'm going to get to do it. And I know I'm going to be able to spend time in there. And that's the other thing I will say. Even during Pandora's opening, there were people waiting 2 to 3 hours. Those were folks who did not have FastPass. The folks that had fast pass arrangements were let right in.
See you later.
You have a VIP entrance to walk right in. But that's what fast pass makes possible. And so that is one of the hugest benefits of that. So honestly, I wouldn't worry about whether I was going to be there the week it opened or 2 weeks after it opened or 2 months after it opened. I know that I'm going to be able to make FastPass Plus reservations for that and be able to see that. Having said that, I think if you're really interested in having less crowds, one of the things that you'll want to do is just try to go during a time that's traditionally not as crowded. And that will stay consistent throughout the year. Look at, and you don't need a crowd calendar. I'll give you the secret. Ready? Are kids off school? It's going to be more crowded.
Yeah.
That's it. Really and truly. Is there some kind of holiday? That's going to help. That's going to, you know, make the crowds larger as well. But, you know, those are the things that impact the crowds at Walt Disney World more than anything else are those factors there. So just go and enjoy.
So, Ricky, Pam's exactly right on this, but I mean, you just can't wait, right? I mean, you just got to go and make FastPass, like you said.
Let's put it this way. I mean, we're a year into Pandora being open officially now, and the wait for Flight of Passage is still ridiculously long. So, as well as Navi River Journey. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind is it really is going to be, I mean, if it's this crowded for Pandora, which is a movie based off of a movie that, frankly, most people couldn't care less about.
I've never seen it.
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, if it's based off of, you know, something like that, and it's got these kind of, you know, crowds, I can only imagine a year later how big the crowds are going to be for, you know, Galaxy's Edge. Because from everything I understand, I mean, you know, a lot of people are talking about the Millennium Falcon attraction. You know the attraction where I think it's going to be at? The other one. Like, from what I hear, that attraction is going to be incredible. So, that's the one I think that's going to see the longest wait times is because everything that I hear is that is going to take it to the next level. So I'm very excited about that. But honestly, if you're looking for in that first year of when I think maybe you might be able to see lesser crowds, it's going to be September of 2019. Oh, no, wait. No, not 2019. 2020. Yeah. Good night. Oh, my gosh. I'm already talking about 2020.
I'll be retired by then, you know.
That's so crazy. Yeah, I mean, if you're really, 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 really looking to, you know, still get there in the first year but avoid crowds sort of, like that September time. It's definitely not going to be, I would have said like February, but you know, it opens at the end of the year in 2019. So February is still going to be ridiculously busy. And all the way through summer. So I think September is going to be the first chance we get at seeing it with maybe not a lot of crowds, but I mean, that's still going to be ridiculous.
And so here's the thing I learned this past couple weeks. Okay. Because, and we'll leave the Star Wars stuff because, again, we got lots of time to talk about this. But Dennis Keithley, one of our listeners, one of my guests over at the Magic for Less, big supporter of the show, always retweets when a new show comes out. I appreciate that so much, Dennis. He hosts a show that's a Star Wars fan podcast. Okay, so I knew this. It's called Scoundrels, Sabers. I'm going to get it wrong, but just look for it. It's got three S's, and it's Sabers, Scoundrels. I listened to it the other day when I was running. It was awesome. But the thing is, like, I had a question about, okay, because we all went to see Solo over Memorial Day. Like, I don't want to give any spoilers because maybe people didn't see it.
Yeah, not
okay,
me.
Okay, but so I had a question about it, about, like, the age of some of the characters. Like, that's wrong. Like, how can that be? Because this person's, they'd be different. So he explained it to me, and I was great. But here's the thing I found out. There is we have our, like, Disney community with a bajillion Disney podcasts
gosh, yes.
And websites. Star Wars might have more than the Disney community as far as podcasts and message boards. Okay, so, and also what I found out was that there's a huge actually retro community that like retro video games like Nintendo's, Atari's, you know, just like retro toys. All those people are going to be going to the studios. We're not just fighting the Disney fans, man.
No.
We're fighting the Star Wars fans. We're fighting the retro fans. It is going to be just madness. I mean, because it's, you know, because I think a lot of things, like we're talking about the narrowness of the Disney community, which is gigantic, by the way. This is like in so many other arms of other communities that are just as passionate about as we are about Disney. They're as passionate about their thing, and they're going to be there with us. So it's going to be nuts. Yeah. Anyway,
it's gonna be insane. Honestly, it's gonna just it's gonna be insane for the next few years. Just be ready. Be ready. All right.
So we got a question from
the 50th anniversary coming up too. So
exactly.
You're gonna have it in 2021. So that's gonna be insanity even more. It's just gonna be insane for the next 5 years. Yeah.
All right. So we got a first time listener, first time caller here, Mike Bankhead in the chat room.
Ooh.
So we're gonna get to that question. We're gonna bump him up to the top here. Never heard of him. Hey,
no.
Friends and family, got a travel question. On July 15th, we're taking our son Ben, who hasn't been to Walt Disney World since 1989, his wife Betsy, she hasn't been since 1985, that was a good year for the Cardinals, and our granddaughter Sarah Jane, 2 years old, and this will be her inaugural trip. As I booked our ADRs, I didn't know whether to book 4 ADRs for the adults or 5 to include Sarah Jane. I think I've got some rides down with touring plans, but this dining thing is kind of hanging our... I can't read it, but the... So Sarah Jane is going to be 2. So does he make ADRs, Pam, for 4 or 5? How's that work?
You make them for everyone in your party. It doesn't matter whether the child's a moment old. It just has to do with fire codes. They want to know the maximum number of folks there. And I know it is kind of confusing, but absolutely make them for everyone in the party. And you'll be golden. And Mike Bankhead is a planner of... I mean, he is, seriously and truly. So he's going to plan this awesome vacation. In fact, sometimes I wish I could hand my vacations over to someone who actually planned more than I did. I'm great with other people's vacation, not so hot with my own.
That's
but
why
this year I did plan, didn't I?
You did. You have an itinerary. It's awesome. We have a shared doc in the Google Drive
goodness.
And everything. It's awesome.
Can I just tell you? So I'll be Brian wants to take me down for my birthday, which is also in July. And he told me a couple of days ago, he's like, so for your present, I want to plan everything. I want to surprise you. I want to be Steve Forrester. And I was like, dear God, no, like, don't. I said, you're not going to plan my trip. Like,
oh, now Ricky won't even give it over to him. See, part of sometimes Ricky doing that is accepting the gift that people
want to I understand give, you know? That, but what if I don't want that gift?
You just have to be gracious.
I just like that he said he wanted to be Steve Forrester. That's
maybe
awesome.
I'll let him plan one day and we'll see how it goes.
I'm texting Brian right now.
That's
all right, that's fine. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell Brian he can plan my next trip. And
there
I'm
you go.
Good with it.
There you go.
What if Steve gave him like an in-service or something? That might work.
Yes. If Steve gave him tips, then yes, I'm fine with it.
Tips
yeah, probably
Steve. Okay.
Better.
So Mark's in the chat. I appreciate it very much. Dennis's podcast is Starship Sabers and Scoundrels. So check it out on iTunes. Very good listen. Because the one I listened to, they hadn't seen Solo yet. So I still... Fortunately, Dennis came right to me and answered some of my questions, so that was good. And Scott Gardner's my personal travel agent, like Bankhead. So, all right, anyway, so here we go. Question from Lindsay in the chat. Hi, guys. Love the podcast. We want to take a midday break and travel back to the Polynesian from the Animal Kingdom and return later to the Animal Kingdom for dinner and Rivers of Light. How much travel time should I allow each way? Are the buses that bad? Uber, Lyft better? Thanks. All right, so Pam, I know you don't take the buses. Uber and Lyft will definitely be a better option if you're looking for speed and convenience, right?
It would be, but the thing I will say about traveling from park to a resort is, I mean, it's just a straight shot. When you're going from resort to resort is where things get a little challenging, but especially from the Magic Kingdom, the buses are right there. You walk out of the park, they're actually closer than you'll be able to get an Uber or a Lyft from. So that's the one park where I see the advantages of using, you know, of using that. But if you do want to go faster, you want it to be right there, do Uber or Lyft. Just make sure you're clear on where the pickup is and know the vehicle that you're looking for, which both the Uber and the Lyft apps do a good job with that. So
just make sure you look at the license plate number. Just
there
do
you
that.
Go.
Trust me.
Okay. All right.
It's just one of those things where so many people, like, I've seen, you know, those like Today Show things where, like, people will get in random cars that they think are Ubers and they're not. So just check the license plate. They share the license plate number with you.
You got to give, if you're watching the video, you got to like make the eye connection. Like when they pull up, because you know what kind of car it's going to be. I don't look at the license plate, but I'm always like, Steve, and then he's like Mike, and I'm like, let's roll. Like, guys, give him a look. Like, let's go. I'm Mike or Steve. Let's do this. Let's get where I gotta go. Okay, next up, Amy's got a question. South Carolina in the house tonight. I just gotta say, 2 South Carolina questions back to back because you know Mike Vanka's on South Carolina. Hi, this is from Travelers Rest, South Carolina. I'm taking my four kids, 17, 15, 12, and 11. Whew, man, those kids. Can you imagine what the food bill's got to be in that house for that four almost teenagers?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. In 2 weeks, we're staying at the Contemporary the first night before we move offsite. We'll be arriving around noon to just hang out at the resort. What do you guys recommend for that day? We plan on maybe some pool time and a hop over to the Poly. Love listening live, but now what do I listen to tomorrow? That's a tough question there, Amy. So, Pam, what do you? They're gonna stay at the Contemporary one night and then head off site. So, they want to take advantage of the Contemporary. What should they do?
Oh man, there's a lot to do at the Contemporary. It just is a really cool resort. You know, I just stayed there recently and kind of spoke about this on a recent podcast. That I really every time I stay at the Contemporary, I sort of fall in love with it again. The room sizes are huge. The decor is really cool. I take advantage of some of the dining locations there. If you want, I would understand if you don't want to eat a California Grill with your crew, but maybe the Wave.
Yeah.
The Wave is a good choice too. It really is. Make sure that you are, you know, set aside some time there. If you're not going into the parks to watch the fireworks from that fourth floor area that they make available to guests to go outside and watch the fireworks from, it really is a cool view, and that's something to take advantage of. The Contemporary also has two pools in addition to the pool that's available for deluxe villa guests. And they're both kind of cool in their own, you know, unique way. Love that. But I think, you know, one of the Contemporary's greatest resources is the fact of its location. Not only is it just a walk or a monorail a ride away from the Magic Kingdom, but you also have boat transportation to the Wilderness Lodge, to Fort Wilderness. You could go and get a good meal at either of those locations as well. You have, of course, the very popular Whispering Canyon Buffet. Whispering Canyon Cafe, which
is not
has an all-you-can-eat platter. Not a buffet, but it's buffet-like in that. Or, of course, Trails End and the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review over at Fort Wilderness. Just make sure you take advantage of being able to enjoy it. I totally get you. I feel like that's the way to be at the Contemporary is just to enjoy the resort. So.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, take a boat to Fort Wilderness, kind of explore, because you don't want to stay there all the time because you're staying at the Contemporary. So swim there, take the environment of the Contemporary, but go to Trails Inn because it's a buffet and it's one of the least expensive options on property. Everybody can eat till their heart's content. Get stuffed. It's all good food. I love it over there. Kind of just walk around the campgrounds there, but get back to the Contemporary, swim in your pool, go in the Grand Canyon Concourse, watch the monorail go by, shop, whatever. Ricky, anything else?
I think that's all a good idea. So just enjoy the resort. It's a fantastic one. So you're going to have a great time.
All right, last question of the day is from Sarah Fisher. It is for Ricky. She calls you out. So Ricky, focus.
I saw that.
All right, question. Our family will be in Walt Disney World July 16th to the 23rd. The Magic Kingdom has a ticketed event listed for the morning of the 22nd. Any ideas on if this is a special event ticket that allows guests to be in the park with limited number of people? If so, where can you purchase these tickets? Should we we rented out the Magic Kingdom for podcast listeners? No, we didn't. Just kidding.
Definitely not. So it's the it's the morning one, right? Because there are two events that take place.
Yes.
So it's the morning one she's talking about, right?
That's right.
Okay. So the morning one is called Disney Early Morning Magic. And what that is it's basically you get Fantasyland kind of to yourself. You get to ride three attractions. They are the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and Peter Pan's Flight. You get to ride them to your heart's content from the beginning of the event, which is, I think, 7 in the morning. And then the event runs till 10 o'clock. With that, in between that time, you also get a breakfast at Pinocchio's Village House. Breakfast is available from 8:30 in the morning until 10 in the morning. So just keep that in mind, too. It takes place from 7:45 until 10 o'clock. So if I had read further, I would have known that information. The cost is $69 per adult and $59 per child. In order to be able to purchase this, Mike, do you know if you can purchase it? I'm sure that you can, or you can purchase it on the Disney website or by calling Disney too.
Yeah, so. I'm not sure. This is the first I've heard of this event, to be honest.
Seriously?
Yeah,
they've had it for a while.
I know. No, I've heard of them doing it. I didn't know that the date. So they're only doing it limited dates this summer? Is that what it is? That's what I'm confused on.
They only do it on Sundays and Tuesdays. So it's not every day that they offer the, and this is different than extra morning or extra magic hours in the morning. This is totally different because extra magic hours is available for all park guests or all resort guests, I should say. And you have free reign to ride, you know, all the attractions that are open during that. Whereas this is available to all guests in general who would like to book this event, the Disney Early Morning Magic event. And it's only Fantasyland that's open.
And you don't get breakfast at Pinocchio's Village House.
You do not get breakfast at Pinocchio's Village House with extra magic hours. No, but you do get it with early morning magic. And the crazy thing is they have such similar names, too. So it gets very confusing in the long run.
Disney, you're killing us here. You're killing us.
I know. I think they only have like three words they can use. You know,
magical,
Disney, magic, imagine. Morning.
That's it. Len Testa says it all the time. They copyrighted like four words and they just switch the orders. Like
fantasy. Exactly.
That's all
wonder.
That's all they do. Yeah, no, that's great. So good stuff. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by great folks like our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free iOS app. Ricky, what are we reading? I mean, you probably just gave away something you could have used, but go ahead.
No. That actually was announced a long time ago.
Sorry.
So that's not new news. But we do have some new news, and that is that an all-new Disney Junior show is coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios this fall. Disney Junior Dance Party will be a live show experience featuring the most popular Disney Junior shows, including Mickey and the Roadster Racers, Doc McStuffins, The Lion Guard, and Vampirina. I don't know how you pronounce it. Vampirina? I don't know. The new show will be a musically infused interactive concert hosted by Finn Fiesta and a DJ who is actually named DJ. It will involve guests in the fun, including live appearances from some of your favorite characters, fun music from Disney Junior, and more. And unfortunately, to make way for this new show, Disney Junior Live on Stage will have its last performance on September 1st.
Oh, no. The doubloons will be stopped falling from the ceiling. Oh, man.
So bye-bye, Disney Junior Live on Stage, but hello, Disney Junior Dance Party.
Good stuff.
I don't know when that's opening, by the way, but I would assume it would be after September 1st because, you know, Disney Junior is taking place until September 1st. So
that's it.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well,
they don't usher some out.
That's sad. It's going away. But poor, like Joe Lazzle says, poor Handy Manny in the big.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure that Handy Manny is well over. So yeah.
He had to hang
up
the
hammer.
He
has other stuff he has to work on.
He does.
Yeah. He's working on the
Handy
old folks
Manny
home.
Is about 40 right now.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he is. He's drawing his benefits by now. Is what's happening. Yeah. Anyway, all right, well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks again to virtualmickey.com for sponsoring today's show. Please support the show on Amazon, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We do your online shopping there. Follow the show on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at brguestmike and at beourguestpod. We've got a great Facebook page. You can go back and see the video from today's show. A lot of fun. We got a little pre-show there and a lot of fun stuff in between the podcast. So check it out, facebook.com/brguestpodcast. And that's about it. So we appreciate you downloading the show, streaming the show, and tuning in live. That means so much to us. We'll be back again on Friday. We're getting you ready for summer 2018. Lots of fun events. We're also talking about how to survive the heat on your summer vacation. So if you're going down anytime while it's going to be hot this summer, you need to tune in for Friday's podcast. All right. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.